ahead and locate in your Bibles or your Bible app Psalm 100, the 100th Psalm. For the drive-in service earlier at 9, the message came from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We focused on verse 9 as the main verse about do not grow weary in doing good. And we talked about how tough it is to kind of hang in there right now and facing so many challenges in life and those type of things. This Psalm 100 is a psalm that also will help us to, if we'll do the things in this psalm, we will find ourselves blessed. We'll find ourselves, our lives enriched. We'll find our overall demeanor, our approach to life much more joyous, much more happy, much more at peace. These psalms that you see in your book of Psalms, each psalm that was written, most of them were written by David, but there was others that wrote them. And they're psalms that they sang when they would get together and worship, or like a lot of us. How many of you, you'll be sitting somewhere and all of a sudden maybe a couple words will come to your brain and all of a sudden you're off singing a song that you learned? And it takes you back to certain things, doesn't it? I had on one of those oldies channels playing my music that's now the oldies from the 60s and 70s. And on came the song Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Now, young people say, you know, who are the Archies? And they all say, what's the song? But the moment the notes leading into them starting to sing, I knew what song it was going to be. And the moment the song started, my brain immediately flashed back to Vines Creek up near Dagsboro, Delaware. It was a marshy area, so if you had your windows down, you got to smell the marsh grass and stuff. But immediately flashed back to that, me driving in my 64 Chevrolet Impala, and we would circle sometimes the Tasty Freeze at times. But that particular night, we pulled into one of the parking spots, and they had one of those little jukebox type things which you put, go up there and put a dime in back then, or a quarter, and play two or three songs. And I would sit there, and we just, for some reason, that song hit me as it was being played. So got as many dimes as I could and played that song several times that night. And it's interesting, just a few notes of that song, and I'm sitting there flashing back to a period of time, and I was at peace and joy and happiness over just reflecting back on some teenage days and all that went with it. Now, maybe you got some songs that will do that for you, bring you back some of those type of thoughts. And yeah, once it gets started, sometimes it won't let go, will it? All right, so I think this psalm here gives us a chance in life, if we reflect upon it, to kind of get a boost, kind of get us focused more fully on God, kind of uplift us. So anytime you're kind of down, not feeling great, struggling with something, open up the Psalms and read them. But in particular, this is a short one. It would be great if we took time to memorize it like we do with the 23rd Psalm. But this Psalm is a wonderful Psalm. Listen to it. It's not the first time most of you have heard it, of course. But listen to it in the NIV. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. The writing of that type of psalm, you don't know what the writer was fully thinking of, what he was focused on, because you don't have that background for it. But you can picture that maybe it was a time of great joy for him as he's reflecting upon the goodness of God. Or it may have been a time of difficulty, and he's making sure that he focuses on God by writing something like this. And this psalm was used for many years by other people, and still continues to be used today as we look at it. It helps us to focus on the beauty and the fantastic nature of God. Look at verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2 encourage us to kind of let the praise flow. A number of us are timid when it comes to worship, are we not? If we're home nobody's around, song comes on, next thing I'm singing with that song. I'm just bursting out. The moment the wife comes in or somebody else comes in, I'm toning it down quite a bit. Probably because I think I sound bad, but more than not, I just don't want to be heard. Some sort of embarrassment, maybe. I don't know. Well, we go to some congregations, and they're boisterous. They're loud, of course. They just let it go. Others are more laid back with it. Somehow or another, we've got to be able to express our love and praise for God. And this psalm writer here says, shout. Shout for the Lord, for joy to the Lord. The King James is probably the way a lot of us learned it for a long time. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And that was always comforting to us who have voices that are not necessarily, a lot of the people say, you know, you want to listen to. I've sang a few solos in my life, but I've never had a request for another one from most of those places that I sang, okay? Somebody else sings. There was a group called the Chapelettes up in Ocean View, Delaware, and there's several of their songs that they sang. He is My Lighthouse, or the song The Lighthouse. Every time I hear that song, I immediately think of the Chapelettes, and they were requested all the time to sing that song. So we need to understand we're still supposed to shout or make a joyful noise. And I like the fact that it can be a noise as opposed to sing on key or have your right notes that you're hitting, those type of things. But shout for joy is the way the NIV words it. Now, how do I shout for joy in an assembly like this, and I don't want my voice hurt? How do I do that? How would you do it? Well, somehow it's got to be, God's got to see it in me. Got to see it. I may not want my voice heard by you all, but I may want Him to know that I honor Him and I want to let the praise flow. So, whatever song it is that we're singing, whatever it may be, make sure your inside of you, your heart, your mind, everything in you is focused on expressing that joy and that praise to God. And notice, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, not making any exceptions. Worship the Lord, how? With gladness. Reflect upon what He's done and be glad in Him. Acknowledge what He's done for you. Gladness is a sense of well-being. No matter what's going on in life, I'm glad. I'm glad I was in your presence. I was glad to see you today. I was glad to do this particular thing. It's a word that we, maybe, I don't know how you use it all the time, or whether you use something else in place of it, but I know when I'm glad. I know when I'm feeling that gladness sense. So we need to express this gladness to God. And then it says here, come before Him with joyful songs. Come before Him with joyful songs. He does not want you coming here coming before His presence, singing funeral dirges. You know, He doesn't want you kind of like, whoa, this is me. I guess I'm thinking of that character, that donkey, huh? Yeah, I knew you'd know it. Eeyore. So, life is miserable. Oh, woe is me. No, we're supposed to be singing joyful songs. Now, some songs pep you up better than others, don't they? I mean, there's some songs that grab a hold of me on secular side. I've said this before. Every time on the radio, as I'm going down the road, I'm a peaceful guy listening to my radio. But you let Born to be Wild come on the station. Man, the radio is cranked up, the window goes down, and the long hair starts to flow. Well, what little bit I got left still starts to flow. And I'm born to be wild, you know. Get your motor running, headed down, you know. It just grabs you. Well, songs, whether or not it's a song that's getting past the secular, the church songs, the worship songs, the praise songs, let it come forth from you. Let it flow. Let it just naturally come before God with joy in your life, gladness in your heart, thankful for who He is and what He's all about. Joy and gladness and songs that lift up. I appreciate the songs that we sang today. Some of them, some songs I feel so comfortable with. I know where the entrances are. I appreciate that for the praise group sometimes, or a song leader, I wouldn't know when to come in on some of these newer songs because I'm not used to them yet. Once I get used to them, there's a song that's no longer considered to be a a contemporary song. And that's the one by Rich Mullins. Awesome, Our God is an Awesome God. Now, you know how why I know it's no longer a contemporary song? Because the first time I ever heard it, the choir group was singing it at Roanoke Bible College. They were singing at the Berea Church of Christ. And Larry Simons had one of the lead parts singing it. Now, how long ago was that? All right, long time, as it's already been said. We're going back to 1985, something like that. All right, so that's what, last century? And 35, 40 years ago. And if it's already out on sheet music for kids to, or for choir groups to sing, you know it's already been around a short a period of time for that. But that, every time I hear that song, our God is an awesome God. You know, you just enjoy it. So come before Him with joyful songs. If you have to, muster up the joy in your heart. But focus on the words and make sure that they are lifting up praise and honor to God. Let the praise just naturally flow. All right, the second thing is, I want you to understand that the reason why you can maintain some joy and happiness and a sense of well-being is recognize who you are. And verse 3 says here, know that the Lord is God. It is He who did what? It says here, it is He who made us. And it goes on to show ownership. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Know God. How do you get to know God? I think some of us want to just step out on the beach somewhere or go out in the woods somewhere and say, hey, God, tell me who you are. And if you pay attention and listen very carefully, you may hear the phrase, I wrote a book all about me. Take time to read the book, and then you won't have to look for a shortcut. A lot of people like shortcuts, don't they? But if you want to get to know God, keep reading the Word. Now, I have learned this because I preach and teach so much, and other studies as well, because I do that. Passages become more alive every time I read them. I'm on my second major study of the book of Revelation here. I'm using notes that I had from 10 to 15 years ago, and I struggled back then to fully understand the book of Revelation. I'm still struggling today, but it's making more sense now. It's coming clearer, because the more I spend in that, the more I understand, the more I appreciate what God wants me to know. Communion. When I first became a Christian, way back in 1975, when I first became a Christian, as I watched people partaking of communion, as I listened to communion messages and scriptures that were read, yeah, it was something. But the more I have studied about communion, the more I understand the relationship of Jesus, the more I understand what He's trying to tell me in communion, what He wants me to lay before Him in communion, the more I understand it, the more powerful it's becoming. The more I know Jesus. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Spend time in your Word. Get to know Him. Force yourself to do it sometimes. I'm every Sunday night now, I've been trying to do this during this COVID stuff. Every Sunday night, I go ahead and I find Johnny Presley's sermon, and I sit there and I listen to that on Sunday night. I sit there and just... And he has a way of presenting it that's just fantastic and wonderful, and I understand more. He takes a passage I already thought I knew and kind of brings it even more up to date for me. So, but you got to force yourself sometime to do that. Anybody here tired on Sunday night? Anybody here just ready to hit the hay and say, hey, look, I can wait till tomorrow to do this? I mean, I've done that. We're not supposed, you know, not supposed to kind of push you back if it's something you want to do. But find time to do it. Get to know God. Talk to Him in prayer. Let Him talk to you through His Word. Now, if you're one of those ones that you get to talk directly to God, you hear His voice, that's fine. But I'm not one of those. And it's too subjective to me. I need more objective truth than that. So make your ears finding time to spend with God. Get to know that God is the Lord, and also that He made us. We are His creation. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. I never got a chance to really see a whole lot of sheep in my life until I was preaching at Gum Neck, North Carolina. And across the street from Buddy Brickhouse's house, there was a little fenced-in area, and they had a bunch of sheep, lots of them. So got to see them. And got to see how the over the course of the 2 years, you get to see how the guy, this, I don't know what they call him, farmer, tender, whatever. But anyway, he tended his sheep, took care of them. They sheared them. They fed them. They made sure everything, they had everything they need, moved from one pasture to another. You get to see how a person cares about something. They just didn't ignore them. Didn't have nothing to do with it. Some of us have pets, for example, outdoor pets, and we just ignore them. You know? Now, this guy was serious about his sheep, and he took care of them. So when I read a passage like this, and the sheep of his pasture, his pasture, he has put us in this place, and he's making sure we're safe, we got what we need, we're protected, we're looked after, we're cared for. So as you're trying to figure out in this dark time, focus on this type of psalm, read it, and remind yourself, I don't care what's going on, I got God, and God's got me. I'm okay because God's in control. I'm okay. He's Lord of all. He made me, and He wants me to be His. I'm okay. Now move to verse 4. This is one we hear quite a bit in the song. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise, give thanks to Him, and praise His name. That's kind of obvious what we should be doing based on that verse, right? Be thankful. What does it mean, enter His gates? Well, this is picture language. You know, you can look at it if you want, coming through the doors of the church, being thankful. But it's basically, when you enter His presence, it was like going into the gates of a protected city. And there He is. Enter His gates. Come before Him. Come before His court. Come before Him and offer up thanksgiving. I'm like anybody else. I like to, if I've done something somewhere along the line, you like to hear somebody say thank you. And grandkids just melt your heart. Thank you, Grandpa, for taking us to the store. You didn't expect it. All of a sudden it comes out of the blue. And how does it make you feel? Or thank you. Thank you for buying that for me, Grandpa. Or thank you for taking us here. Thank you for doing this with us. Thank you for playing. I mean, just a little thing. Like just playing chicken foot with them. Thank you for playing chicken foot with us today. It just makes you feel good. Well, if we as earthly beings feel wonderful when a child says that to us, how much more do you think God feels when His people reach up and say thanks? The hardest thing to do sometimes is to be thankful in your lowest point. A relationship has fallen completely apart. Your teenagers are driving you to the brink of destruction. You know, economically, you don't have enough money to pay for everything this month, and the job is killing you because they're not giving you work. And we can go through a litany here of things, right? There's several. It's hard when you're down and out. Everybody's been through it. Got married in March of 1975, November of 1975, with a house payment and two car payments. Carol and I both got laid off. And they tell you it'll be 6 to 8 weeks before you get your first unemployment check. Of course, banks always work with you, right? Mortgage companies always work with you. Everything you owe, they'll work with you, right? Hey, no problem. When you get a job, let us know sometime. No, you know how that works. It's hard. So how do you maintain thankfulness in something like that? There's this old song that says, count your many blessings, name them. Oh, right? And it amazes you what God has done for you if you do that. Just find reasons to thankful. You know, and as I've gotten older, my thought process kind of drifts this way. Lord, I only got a few more years here, and I'm get to be with You. Thank You for the salvation You've given me. Thank You, Father. You know, and just focus on the salvation He's given you. Lord, You've given me the fruit of the Spirit. You've given me the ability to express love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, goodness, self-control, all those fruit of the Spirit. You've given me that. So find reasons to be thankful. Think about what He's done, what He's going to do for you, what He continues to do for you. And I often reflect upon from this way. Before Christ came in my life, before I gave my life to Christ, before I was baptized into Christ, what was my status? And according to Romans 3:20, in Romans 3, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says what? The wages of that sin is death. Spiritual death. Eternity in hell. You read the book of Revelation. We've been studying through it. If you get to chapters 15, 16, right in there, 17, 18, and 19, we get right in there, you see how bad it's going to be for those who are not found in Christ. It's going to be horrible. I don't want to spend a lifetime or eternity, I guess would be the right way, I don't want to spend eternity in that state. So, one of the things I'm very thankful for is the fact that I have salvation. I have hope here, and I have an eternal home waiting. So, it gets me through. I don't care if I got money to pay the bills with. I don't care if the cars broke down. I don't care. I only got a few more years here at best. So, hey, prepare for eternity. All right, so we've looked so far. Let the praise flow. Understand that we are His and we need to be thankful. The last thing comes from verse 5. Take a look at some of God's great attributes. For the Lord is what? Good. God is good. What's the use of you hear Roy come back with? God is good all the time, right? God, the Lord is good. And His love endures for how long? Forever. And His faithfulness continues through all generations. Has anybody here thought you were kind of in love with somebody? You know, just the sweetest little thing in the world, and you're just in love. And you think you're being in love back, but one day you find out somebody doesn't love you anymore. Isn't it devastating? It can rip your heart out. So, I've seen it with people, with their children. The teenagers go through that rebellious stage, and they'll just tell their parents right in their face, I hate you. I don't love you anymore. And what does it do to a parent's heart? You know? So whether it be somebody that's infatuated, inflamed in love, or whether it be a parent-child relationship, whatever happens, it's not nice to know that you're not loved anymore. But who will always love you no matter what? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, right? Eternal life. So, God's going to love us. He loved Israel, even when she turned her back on Him. He would send prophets to him right and left, trying to talk them into, and He offered them a way out every time. And He offers the same to us. He could have left us to die in our sins, but He sent Jesus Christ. God loves us. Another thing you notice here, His love endures forever. And then also, how much can you count on God? Okay, it says here, His faithfulness continues through all generations. If you read the Old Testament real careful, God made a promise to Noah that we would never end the world again with a flood. Has He kept His promise? He told Abraham when he was Abram, you see this land here? It's not yours right now, but it will be yours. It's you for yours, you and for your generations to come. Did He deliver? Yes, He did. He told David there would be a king always in the line of David on the throne. King Jesus today. You understand what I'm saying? God is faithful. And if He's told you and me that if you come to Him through Jesus Christ, He will forgive you of your sins, He will cleanse you of your unrighteousness, He will place within you His Holy Spirit, and He will help you to become the person you need to be in Christ, and He has a home waiting. What do you think He's going to do when the time comes? He's going to deliver. So He's going to be faithful. So when you... Everybody else may quit on you. Our country may look like it's falling all to pieces. Everything may be happening around the world, all kinds of shake-up, all this COVID mess, and all that may be going on, but you can count on one thing through it all. God is faithful. No matter what's going on, God is faithful. So, God is good, His love endures forever, and His faithfulness is available through all generations. So this is a psalm, as you look it over again, this is a psalm that if you'll spend time meditating on this once in a while, maybe if you might be one of these ones that want to do it once a week, you may want to do it once a month, you may only want to do it once a year, but the principles of the psalm show up in a lot of the other psalms. The teachings, the morals, the character of God show up in all of them. Spend some time reflecting on these things. Learn how to praise God. I do not like the fact that some people have tied the praising of God to a band or a group or a particular style of worship. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. Because David wrote Psalms even when he was hiding in caves away from Saul coming to kill him. Even when he had almost nothing to his name, he still figured out a way to write Psalms to God. If you can't praise God in the middle of the most boring service you've ever been in your life, then you really don't have the joy of Jesus in your life. You don't really have the love of God in your life like you should. So, learn to praise God whether you happen to be with a bunch of people that are just rip-roaring and just raising the roof and whatever. When you're playing, how many of you played sports in school? Anybody? Anybody go to a pep rally? All right. At a pep rally, I can remember, whether it was John Clayton High School or later Indian River High School, because we consolidated and went with another school. I can remember going to a pep rally. They got up there and they had us so pumped up. We were going to sit there and beat that team. I mean, there was no doubt about it. They had us, the way that they were doing the pep songs and the band and the cheers, man, the hair's just rising on the back of your neck. You're just ready to go. And you think about that as you get ready for the game, you're getting all the equipment on, everything, got the helmet on, and you're walking out here. We're going to really do a job on these dudes. The first time you get knocked for a loop, you forget the pep rally. You better be prepared to play ball like you've been trained to play. And that's what I'm saying is here. It's wonderful if you get truly uplifted. If you leave the auditorium every time, say, oh, that was the most fantastic service I've ever attended in my life. Satan's waiting out the door somewhere along the line to give you a good shot in the head. He's going to knock you for a loop. And when he does, it's not going to be the pep rally that gets you through. It's going to be your love and trust and faith in God and the fact that you're following His Word. Consider those things. Reflect upon the psalm. Understand that you're His. Be thankful and remember our God is good, our God is loving, and our God is faithful. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the Scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the Scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins to get the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. A new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. Tell Him. And ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus. And as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.